Tonight.
Pray first.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here. Your presence is much welcomed. And we appreciate that you love us and you take care of us.
Amen.
You will make me a little small, just a mouthpiece for your great majesty. And things that I say be clear and meaningful. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So I am speaking about blessed are the peacemakers. So it's horrible cheaters, you know, you gotta wear them. Anyway, okay, Matthew 5:9. If you want to turn to that, it's blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Very important. We want to be children of God, and we also want to be peacemakers. When you think of peacemakers in the history, and maybe of our country, you know, what comes to your mind?
That's right.
I didn't want to bring one, but I brought a gun. I brought.
Wow.
Okay.
When you say peacemaker,
but that's not a Colt 45. But it is a gun, right?
For those of us who are not acquainted with the American culture, could you explain what's the connection? Because some
well,
of us don't
I'm not quite it. Sure when peacemaker came in, but I think it came along in the 1880s, 1870s when Colt first introduced their 6-shooter.
Yeah, as a revolver.
It's a revolver, you shoot 6 times fast, like that, to shoot the Native American Indians or your fellow cowboys or miners or whoever. It was a fast shooting gun that you put in the holster. If you ever watch any kind of westerns, that's what you usually see.
And what's the connection with the peacemakers?
Because.
Well, when you use it, the person rests in peace.
Yeah. Well, that's one way, but you two people arguing, stop. Or you give me a hard time, stop. You know, that's what they did. Now, the other side of the version of this is cowboys and Indians is I brought a little show and tell. You know, I like rocks. Okay. So this is an Indian version of a peacemaker. You put a stick on there and now you have a big club.
That's right.
All right. We found this out where we live. But you can tell it's definitely chipped around. Okay. It's flat on one side, perfect for the stick, and they wrap it with leather. It's kind of heavy for maybe a club, but maybe for beating things, you know. But you got whacked with this thing.
David and Goliath.
Yes, very much so. So that's the end of show and tell. But we're not talking about that kind of peacemaker, are we? Let's get into here a little bit. Before the start of World War II, a lot of the countries in Europe were under threat of Hitler, right? And he was threatening to come into these countries like Poland, France, and all these different countries. And so at that time, a lot of people were trying to make peace with him. They had World War I, they had enough of fighting, they didn't want to have anything to do with World War II, because they didn't, you know, they didn't know about World War II. They didn't want to have anything to do with fighting Hitler. So even when they were threatening Poland, which was one of the first countries over around, they had met a pact with Poland, England, and France. And they said they'd protect them if Hitler attacked, right? Unfortunately, when Hitler did attack, they just kind of like backed off. Chamberlain, they couldn't handle it. They just wanted to have peace. If we give him what he wants, he won't attack us, right? If we give him what he wants from us, he won't hurt us. We'll give him Poland, and maybe he'll back off the rest of Europe, right? Fortunately, that didn't work, did it? He kept taking more and more and more. And even as it got down to the poor people in these different countries, as Hitler was attacking them, like the Jews, you know, each people group would think, well, if we be nice to him, or if we give him this, we'll give him gold, we'll give him whatever, you know, they would leave us alone. but the Hitler, his Nazi crew, just kept killing off and killing off. And then he got into they started killing the Jews. Even the Jews would have like organizations that would, when they would ask for 1,000 people, okay, we'll give you 1,000. Don't bother the rest of us. You know, just hold them off. We'll live, you know. But it didn't work out. They ended up killing almost all the Jews, right? 6 million people in Europe. Terrible success story for a peacemaker, right? Did not work. Yeah, so we should have learned from that, that our choices that we make for peacemaking affect our lives and the lives of others, right? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called the sons of God. Into a world that is ugly with violence and hate, Jesus said, be peacemakers. We're thrown into this world. We're born into it. We weren't given any choice into the part of the world that we're born. But yet, we are supposed to be children of God. We're supposed to be peacemakers among each other, right? Yes. And Jesus meant for us to be peacemakers. But what did he mean? Peacemaking is not the absence of conflict, right? Peace in the Bible is never to be confused with pacifism. Avoidance of strife. Is avoiding strife, is that peace? We're never instructed to run from conflict. Appeasement of parties. Peace at any price. The Bible doesn't talk about that either. We can't put our head in the sand and expect peace. Accommodation of issues. If we gloss over the problems or the issues, will they go away? No peace has been found or solved. What kind of peace making options some people make? Do people sue for peace? What is suing for peace? They may never ever look it up. Suing for peace is usually from the losing side. Please, can we end this? Because you're killing me and my family, you know? And sometimes the winning person will give into that and go, yeah, I guess we could end it now before it causes too much strife and conflict. However, the winning side also has what they call pressing for peace. You press for peace, and that's because they have the advantage. In their eyes, it's worth it to them. Let's just have peace. You and me will be peaceable. And sometimes that leads to what they call a white peace, which means let's just go back to square one. Let's go back behind our borders, go back behind whatever issue or conflict that we have. We'll just go back to whatever status quo. Didn't change anything, didn't affect the issues or anything, but we're just back to where we were. Everything's still smoldering. We see that all the time in the world, don't we? Among people, among friends, among enemies. So that's not good, right? So what is Jesus aiming for when he's talking about we should be peacemakers? It means we need to be a moral and upright person in the eyes of God. God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Why does it make us sons of God? Question maybe we'll kind of answer throughout this. Bible gives examples, right? Lots of examples. Joseph. Why was Joseph a peacemaker? Did he not have dreams? Did he not have conflict with his brothers? Even his dad didn't like him talking about these dreams. He kind of lifted him up. But in the end, did he not make himself a peacemaker with his brothers, even though they only had hate and envy for him when he was younger? Mm-hmm. But he could throw him in jail. He could have wiped him off the planet. But he strove because of love for his brethren. He strove to have peace with them. Remember Jonathan? Jonathan was the son of King Saul and friend of David. Jonathan sought to make peace with David and liked to have it between David and his dad. is that Dad was so jealous and angry of David because he was such a rising talented star in Israel. Paul was a great example of a peacemaker. Because most of his beginning of his life, he was not the peacemaker, was he? He was a religious persecutor who witnessed, condemned, and actually participated in the death of many Christians. But Christ changed his life, didn't he? He became a peacemaker. He reflected Christ in his life. Paul says, pursue, this is in Hebrews 12:14. I'll look it up. Pursue peace with all men and a sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all and the sanctification. For purity of heart, as long as also seeking peace with others. The other one was Abigail, who was Nabal's wife. Anybody remember her? Yeah, that was kind of a serious thing. You know, here Nabal and his family and soldiers and all these people were out there. And they didn't realize that David, I think his men knew, that David was actually protecting him from the enemy. So when David asked for food and water and all those kind of things, he get out of my sight, you know. I don't owe you anything. But Abigail heard about it, and she sued for peace. Not sued for peace, but she was seeking peace from David, you know. And
with lots of
lots of food and everything.
Yes.
Yes. She says, behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us. This is 1 Samuel 25. And we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. And she fell at his feet and said, upon me, O Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Let this thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Interesting story, because Nabal heard about this, and he heard what she had done, heard what David was going to do to him and his men. Within 10 days, he died of basically a heart attack, I think. He stressed himself. And she ended up being David's wife, which was interesting. That's why it's along the way. Abraham said in Genesis 13:8, says to Lot, please let there be no strife between you, me, or our herdsmen, for we are brothers, right? Is not the land before us? And he asked him, where do you want to go, the left or the right? You take it. He was a fantastic peacemaker, wasn't he? Because he was strong. He was powerful. But humbly, he didn't need to show off his strength or power, did he? He just gave. You know, it's amazing. There is a quote from Mount of Blessings. It's kind of long, but everything is kind of long. So if you guys want this to go long, let's try to short it down. Sorry, this is Mount of Blessings, page 27. It's about this peacemaking. It says, being justified by faith, this is Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever consents to renounce sin and open his heart to the love of Christ becomes a partaker of this heavenly peace. So if we renounce sin, and we open our heart, we can have that peace that God wants to give us. There's no other ground of peace than this. The grace of Christ received into the heart subdues enmity. It allays strife and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be made miserable. Envy will not be in his heart. Evil surmisings will find no room there. Hatred cannot exist. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven and will diffuse its blessed influence on all around. The Spirit of peace will rest like dew upon hearts weary and troubled with worldly strife. Christ's followers are sent to the world with the message of peace. Whoever, by the quiet unconscious influence of a holy life shall reveal the love of Christ. Whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God is a peacemaker. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The spirit of peace is evidence of their connection with heaven. The sweet savor of Christ surrounds them. The fragrance of the life, the loveliness of the character, reveal to the world the fact that they are children of God. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. So we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Some men?
All men.
All men. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good work fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That's in James 3:17. Thessalonians 5:15 was to say, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil.
Amen.
Amen. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone, as 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other's brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. That's 1 Peter 2:8. There's a little poem for Regent. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternity. This is another little short one. Mount of Blessings, page 55. Through Moses, the Lord had said, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Right? Thou shalt not obey, Leviticus 19:17, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The neighbor. The truths which Christ presented were the same that had been taught by the prophets, but they had become obscured through hardness of heart and love of sin. Are we hardened of heart? Love sin? Things just continually repeat. The Savior's words revealed to his hearers the fact that while they were condemning others as transgressors, they were themselves equally guilty, for they were cherishing malice and hatred. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with who?
Satan.
And it led him to put to death the Son of God. And whoever cherishes malice and hatred or unkindness is cherishing the same spirit, and its fruit will be unto death. Is the revengeful thought, the evil deed, lies enfolded as the plant in the seed? 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life. We don't want to do that. In the gift of his Son for our redemption, God has shown how high a value he places upon every human soul. And he gives no man liberty to speak contemptuously. We shall see faults and weaknesses in those about us, but God claims every soul as his property, his by creation, and doubly his is purchased by his precious blood of Christ. All were created in his image, and even the most degraded are treated with respect and tenderness. God will hold us accountable for even a word spoken in contempt of one soul whom Christ laid down his life. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? Who art thou that judges another man's servant to his own masters? He standeth or falleth. That's the 1 Corinthians 4 and Romans 14. She also says, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. In the Old Testament, the word fool is used to designate an apostate, or one who has abandoned himself to wickedness. Jesus says that whoever shall condemn his brother as an apostate or a despiser of God shows that he himself is worthy of the same condemnation. Even Christ himself said, when contending with Satan about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Had he done this, he would have placed himself on Satan's ground. Accusation is the weapon of the evil. He is called in Scripture the accuser of a reprobate. Revelation 12:10. Jesus would employ none of Satan's weapons. He met him with the words, the Lord. He is our example. When we are brought into conflict with the enemies of Christ, we should say nothing in the spirit of retaliation, or that would bear even the appearance of railing accusation. He who stands as a mouthpiece for God should not utter words which even the majesty of heaven would not use when contending with Satan. We are to leave with God the work of judging and condemning. That's not blessing 55. So, do we love our brother who believes as we do? Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Matthew 5:43. But Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, nor God, for God is love. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. This is just a bunch of ones that say we should love one another. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I love you. 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. 18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. 3 Thessalonians 1:87 says, love is a golden chain which binds bleeding hearts to one another in willing bonds of friendship, tenderness, and faithful constancy, and which binds the soul to God. There is a decided lack of love, compassion, and pitying tenderness among brothers. 18:242 says, it is not the opposition of the world that endangers us the most. It is the evil cherished in the hearts of professed believers that works our most grievous disaster and most retards the progress of God's cause. There is no surer way of weakening our spirituality than by being envious and suspicious of one another, full of fault-finding and evil surmising. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3:15. So we have a great witness to others, don't we? She says in 18:242, a little farther along, harmony and union existing among men of varied dispositions is the strongest witness that can be borne that God has sent his son to the world to save sinners. It is our privilege to bear this witness. But in order to do this, we must place ourselves under Christ's command. Our characters must be molded in harmony with his character, and our wills must be surrendered to his will. Then we shall work together without a thought of collision. So what is the meaning of a peacemaker? What did Jesus mean by peacemaking? The definition is someone who is actively seeking to reconcile people to God and to one another. It's an active, it's not a passive. Comes from two words, peace and maker. The Hebrew word shalom, shalom. Shalom means either hello or goodbye.
Peace.
When they say shalom, they were wishing one another the full presence, peace, and prosperity of all the blessedness of God.
Amen.
I think that's a good word. They used to say from Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Remember in the Bible, peace is always based on justice and righteousness. Where justice prevails and righteousness rules, there you will also have peace. But without these two virtues, lasting peace is impossible. No justice, no righteousness. What is Christ? He sits as just God, and he's also a righteous God. The word peacemakers comes from the Greek verb that means to do or to make. He did not say, blessed are the peace wishers, or the peace hopers, or the peace dreamers, or the peace lovers, or the peace talkers. Peacemaker is an initiative that we need to take with the world, with each other. Peacemakers describes one who actively pursues peace. Peacemaker pursues more than the absence of conflict. They don't avoid strife. They aren't merely seeking to appease the warring parties. They aren't trying to accommodate everyone. Instead, they are pursuing all the beauty and blessedness of God upon another. Peacemaking is a divine work, is it not? So we should copy it. God is the author of peace. Is that right?
Yes. Isaiah 9:8-6.
And Jesus is the supreme peacemaker. Jesus came to establish peace. But not in this world, right? Peace between each other, but not peace with the world. He is the Prince of Peace, it says in Isaiah 9:6. Jesus says, go in peace. Jesus is our most obvious peacemaker. Jesus is our ultimate example of what it means to be a peacemaker. The whole Bible is centered around this fact. Christ is the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. His mission was to restore to earth and heaven the peace that sin has broken. All right. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and their government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Just before he was crucified, Jesus' last will and testament was, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. He came to give us a peace, otherworldly peace that we can't manufacture for ourselves. We can't give ourselves. We can't give each other. But we can seek it from God, and then it comes through him, through us, to others. So, being a pacemaker is usually not always most fun or nice or acceptable or comfortable thing to do or to be among each other, right? Because sometimes you can get stomped on, you know, because people don't always accept the idea of peace. They don't always want peace, right? And there's a lot of emotional baggage that goes along with it, a lot of emotional strain, a lot of heartache, a lot of different things. Everybody deals with stress and conflict differently, don't they? You know, how much we take long, how much we think about what's happening. And sometimes it doesn't work, right? You can do all you want. It doesn't create any peace. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he exhorted, if possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone, Romans 12:18. We are to live at peace with everyone. That sounds like a pretty tall order, doesn't it? But it's a pretty clear command. Paul adds, if it is possible. And sometimes peace isn't possible. There are those cantankerous types who just go through life picking fights with everyone they meet. You can't always live at peace with people like that. And that's, sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to go on and go past that. The testimony of a Christian is his ability to get along with other people. We have a God-given, scripturally directed responsibility to pursue peace. The Apostle Paul declared, God has called you to peace in 1 Corinthians 7:15. Does that mean we agree with everything others say or do? No. Sometimes we agree to disagree. Agree with. God wants his children to be bridge builders. What can you and I do to build those bridges of peace each and every day? Is that our task? Every day is a new day. We get to live life differently each day. If God gave us breath, we wake up in the morning. We can be different people each and every day through the power and strength of ourselves.
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. Because it didn't work when we did it by ourselves. It never works by ourselves. I mean, you can negotiate a lot of things, but really, truly, deeply changing us inside only comes from God. And changing the other person truly only comes from God. And when you are connected with God, then peace with each other is naturally happens. And people who are married and that they're at peace with God, you're always at peace with each other. You may have some differences, but it's always easier to reconcile. It's easier to become one. And as brothers and sisters of Christ, we should be the same. We should be easily entreated, always. So we need to talk to God, don't we? If there's an issue, if there's a conflict, God will reveal to us our need of what the issue is in the conflict. And pray that he reveals it to the other person. But usually, if it's fixed in ourselves, it's a lot easier. We always have to take a step, don't we, as peacemakers? We always have to try. We have to make the initiative sometimes, go forward. Jesus says, so if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5. Not too far from this peacemaker verse that we're reading. But you always ask yourself, why should I go to the person when they are the one that hurt me? You want the biblical answer? Because Jesus says so. Conflict is never resolved accidentally. People always stay on the other side of the fence. If you don't cross your neighbor's fence, nothing will ever happen, right? Everybody needs to go up the door I'm sorry.
And if he accepts you
and he says he's sorry too, you want a friend. If he doesn't, well, you tried. You've made peace in your own heart. You can take that stuff out of your top of your head that's sitting there bothering you all the time. And now you can have quiet peace. And you can tell the person how you feel. But Solomon has a wise answer for that. He says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Proverbs 15:1. Reconciliation is more crucial than being
right.
Even if you're right in an argument, do you win?
Peace.
You almost always lose anything because the relationship is broken down and it turns into an argument. If you're right. The mantle of peacemaking. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons of God. If you want to be called sons of God, that's what we're here for in this church. Sons and daughters of God. Why else would we come to church? We can argue in the judges' chambers and courts and school, wherever else, but we come to church to argue, rant and rave, all those kind of things too. We come to fellowship with one another, to love one another, to support each other. And if that doesn't happen, then the relationship breaks down, just like a marriage. And it's broken. You can't fix it. So we have to do that because we have broken issues with each other. Or you at home or at work. I know at work, if there's an issue, personalities, I don't like being a supervisor. I like being at work. I tell you, it's nothing like personalities. I can go into stories. Jesus says that those who are peacemakers will be known and recognized for what they really are, the sons of God. But the opposite must be pointed out as well. And the opposite of peacemakers is what? Trouble. Troublemakers. People who are mean-spirited, stirring up strife, and creating conflict. Peacemakers are sometimes troublemakers to bring peace. Right? People will call you a troublemaker if you try to make peace sometimes. You're just trying to stir up a mess. Just leave it alone. It was fine the way it was. Now you're just trying to fix it. You know? Those are sobering words, but we don't want to be troublemakers. The good news of the gospel is that a troublemaker can become a peacemaker. Right? There's nothing that can't be changed in personality and character in man if we give it to God. Mm-hmm. Look at Paul. It's a perfect example. No one can become a peacemaker until he has found peace himself. God. We cannot give what is not inside of us, what is not real to us. Peacemakers begin with an experience of peace in our own heart. Do you know the peacemaker? Do you know the ultimate peacemaker? Have you come into relationship with Jesus, the Prince of Peace? What will you be called? The Son of God? The Son? Somebody else. In this world, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we'll just end with a few more prayers. Who would like to pray? Maybe 2, 3, then I'll end.
About some time or to do in the end, we just everybody got... wants to pray and pray short prayers. The introduction is made by the first one, the closing is made by the last one, but we all have one prayer bringing it whatever comes in our heart. That's one way to do it. So even the fact it's a small number, we all can pray and think.
You want to start on this side, and Andy, you want to end on this side?
So remember, the public prayer should be shorter to this point. What's in the heart? Let's pray. Our Heavenly, we appeal tonight to be best peacemakers. We ask your help for this. It's tonight we recognize that ourselves is in the way. And we know that we can't take it. Please take it from us. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings to go before us now as we eat. We pray that we know that we have been asked to be merciful, to be pure in heart, and to be peacemakers. Lord, with your help, we can attain all those. Go before us, we ask in your name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up to Holly's daddy, Phil, and focus him. Tonight, I just pray that you would be with her mom and dad, and help her dad with the things that he's having to go through with a broken hip. And I pray that you would heal him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us to seek peace, to be peacemakers, to love one another, and you are a peacemaker. Be willing to do so in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for the mind of Christ. And things we've heard here tonight, so meaningful. And without the mind of Christ, we know we can't do that. And help us to discern what is right, what is wrong, and the best way to handle all things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that works in us to become also peacemakers. And I want to just lift up everyone's prayer request tonight and the speaker that spoke tonight, Brother Bob. And thank you, Lord, for talking to us and sharing, Lord Jesus, your will for us in our lives and to be peacemakers with others. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit being present here tonight, touching our hearts, bringing us closer to you. I thank you that you are easy to be entreated. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you ask us to love you with our whole heart, and the love we have for you with our whole heart, and the love we have for your children is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the message from Brother Mike, and help us, Lord, that we may live this role of peacemakers, especially among those in our family that we have a hard time loving. Lord, you can perform the surgery necessary to give us the new heart to love those that we find difficult to love. Thank you for giving us this new heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.